Hello, everybody. It's Joe and Angel here. We're here with another Mailbag Monday. We've got some great questions to go over. Angel, let's get this thing started.
Good morning, Joe. So happy to be here with you again on Mailbag Monday.
Yes.
Okay, so just so people know, we did not see these questions before.
No, we don't see any of them until they're asked. We don't know.
Yeah, so sometimes, I have to think it through. So let's just jump right in. Joe, I know for sure that my husband and I started off in love, but how in the world did we grow so far apart? If someone asked me, I'm not sure I could answer how it happened.
I had a couple in Kentucky one time at a marriage seminar. We were just talking between the sessions, and he made a statement that was astounding. He said, you know, my wife and I, we fall in love about 6 or 7 times a year. They've been married like 30-something years. I said, do what? He said, oh, yeah. We fall in love again about 6-7 times a year. And you don't just fall in love once.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple come to me for counseling one time and said, so what's the problem? I said, well, we're getting a divorce. I said, what is it? Well, we have fallen out of love. I said, well, that's so sad. And I knew them. Great couple. I said, so sad. I said, what happened? I said, well, we just fell out of love. I said, well, when did you fall in? What? You can't fall out unless you fell in. When did you fall in?
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about? Well, we met at church and went out for coffee and started dating, went to dinner. We fell in love. And now you've fallen out. And I said, yeah. I said, listen, guys, the Bible says love's a choice. You choose. And so, listen, you can fall off the bed, you can fall off your couch, you can fall out of your truck, you can fall off in the ditch. You can't fall out of love. Love's a choice. God chose to love us. For God so loved the world,
mm-hmm.
He gave His only begotten Son. God made a choice to love a non-loving people. We didn't love God. We were going to hell on purpose. Yet God chose to love us. And then what is love? Well, it's what you do for somebody. It's not what you feel. I feel I'm in love. No, it's not love. Love's what you do. Love's an action word, so what you do, you just got to start doing it again. You know, we used to quote this thing out of Revelation. And God was dealing with the church at Ephesus and said, God was so proud of Ephesus and what they'd done and all the things He's bragging on. They were bragging on more than all the other six of the seven churches. He said, but I have this one thing against you. And they said, what? He said, you've left your first love. The church that He bragged on the most said, you got a problem. What is it? You've left your first love. He said, me, you left me.
Mm-hmm.
We were in love and I'm proud of what you've done. You worked hard. You're paying your bills. You're cleaning the house, doing the dishes, make sure your kids got their homework and wash the laundry. But you've left me.
Mm-hmm.
It happened with God. It happens with couples. And so what do you do? So you need to redo what you did in the beginning. Repent that you fell away.
Mm-hmm.
He gave them steps. We got to do what you did the first time when you fell in love. Love's an action word. What you do when you're in love? We went on dates. We hugged and kissed. We ate ice cream together. We watched movies. What are you doing now? Paying the bills, trying to make sure that the toilet's not stopped up and things are working. And so you have to do it on purpose. You have to on purpose. I remember years ago, somebody told me, said, listen, love's what you decide to do, and you can't wait till it's convenient. It will never be convenient.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, sometimes guys need to go out and sit on the front porch or go down to a local place, just drink a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be expensive. Hey, Mom and I are going on a date. We're going to get a babysitter, be gone for about an hour. We're going mm-hmm. in here, get a cup of coffee. We're just going to sit and stare at each other. We might not even talk. We're going on a date.
Mm-hmm.
And so you start small and you work your way up to something bigger. So that's how you do it.
Also, you know, when I think about the Bible says in our relationship with God, and in the same ways this is true in our relationship with our spouse, it says there's three things the Bible says that will choke out the relationship we have with God: the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things.
Ooh.
So,
bingo.
And many times it's the same way in our relationship with others. The cares of this world, the busyness of life, just getting caught up in having children, your jobs, everything else, the deceitfulness of riches, going after money,
yep.
Making that a part of your God, making that your God, and the lust of other things.
Yep.
All three of those things are, when I say that, sometimes maybe like pornography or you know, just lust for material things or for someone else's spouse, you know.
Yep.
So, I mean, but those things, the same three things that choke out our relationship with God can certainly destroy our closeness and intimacy with our spouse as well.
Well, none of the things that you're doing are wrong. It's just your spouse left the list. Mm-hmm. You spend more time bass fishing, deer hunting, duck mm-hmm. hunting, hanging with your buddies, do your spouse.
Right.
You go home, you don't want to talk to your spouse, you just watch TV until you fall asleep.
Right.
You don't have any conversation. Well, that's going to cost you because eventually you're going to have to talk, and you're not going to talk, you're going to yell at one another.
Right.
What happened? We fell out of love. We need to fall back in.
Mm-hmm.
You need to fall back in love.
And things that you may have done for your spouse when you first got married, or
like hold the door open
and be
polite.
Considerate. Take them on a date.
Ask them where they want to go.
Yes.
What movie they want to see. Well, it's my turn. I want to see what I want to see. No, no, that's not going to work.
Brush your teeth.
Oh my goodness. Bathe before you go
hygiene.
To bed. Oh man.
Just you know, you kind of lose because you get comfortable with someone. The courtesies of life. So
very good.
I would try to refocus on that.
Yes.
Because love is a choice, and you can fall in love again and again.
Yes, you can.
Okay, so now, Joe, this person is asking, it says, I am seeing more and more bad influence coming from my kids' school interaction. I'm not talking necessarily about the other kids. I'm talking about the stuff the teachers are pushing. Even their homework assignments are filled with stuff pushing the gay and transgender propaganda. Private school is not an option for us to send our kids to. So how are we supposed to fight that type of influence?
Well, number one, parents got more influence than a teacher does. Your kids going to school maybe about 6 hours a day. They're with you the rest of the day. So mm-hmm. at some point, you better have some conversation with them because they're getting instruction from school. When I was a school administrator years ago, we would start every school year the week before. On a Monday night, we would have a Christian school seminar. It's a one-hour seminar. If your kids are coming to a Christian school, here's what we will do for you. Here's what we will not do for you. Here's what we can say and not say. This is what a Christian school is. We're not the salvation of your child. We're an academic institution. On Tuesday night, we had a public school seminar. If your kids are in public school, go down there and be a blessing. Volunteer to be a homeroom mother. Show up for field trips. You mm-hmm. know, don't protest. Don't picket. Because our state that I'm in used to have a three-day seminar for teachers how to handle Christian parents.
Mm-hmm.
They warned them about this is what they're going to do. So look for these words. So no, go down and be a blessing. And then they'll ask you how to do something. And then on Thursday night, we'd have a homeschool seminar. If you're homeschooling, do this, don't do this. So people say, well, what do you believe in? I believe in education. And mm-hmm. so do what you can do. We can't afford Christian school. I can't homeschool. Then you're going to put them into public school. The government provides for that. Your tax dollars pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't just do nothing, think nothing, ask nothing, say nothing. So that means when your child comes home, say, hey, I have school today. What went on? What was interesting? What got said? Do it over the dinner table. You know, cooking some chocolate chip cookies and have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they said this. Well, let me explain what the scripture says about that. Because your child, whether in school or when they're an adult in the workplace, they're going to hear stuff until Jesus comes. That's the opposite of the gospel, the opposite of what God says. So they need to learn now how to differentiate between what's true and what's not. How do I know the truth? You know God's word, and God's word will tell you what the truth is. Well, they said this. Well, that's not totally true. You need to honor the office of the teacher, honor the office of the principal, honor the office, but we don't bite into all of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's no different. I don't believe everything that the guy at the ice cream store tells me or at the hamburger joint. I don't believe everything he says. He just makes a good hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
He's not my spiritual parent. You know, if I got a nice restaurant we go to, they're not my spiritual head. They're just good cooks.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't confuse them. Like, well, this is God talking. No, that's your teacher. You do honor them. You don't disrespect them, and you obey them. But you're going to learn when you come home. Listen, the Jewish families in Jesus' day, Jewish kids went to Roman schools.
Mm-hmm.
What they learned about Roman gods, Roman religion, they don't believe in Jesus. If you read historical books about Jewish families and what they did, it did not bother them for their kids to learn about the Jewish, the Roman gods, the Roman religion. Why? Because our kids know the truth.
Mm.
You can tell them that all day long. They know the truth. They'll come, what'd you learn today? Well, we learned about Zeus and, you know, all these other, and they know it's not mm-hmm. true because they knew the truth so well. Listen, we toured one time. We were in Washington, D.C. years ago with the kids, and we toured where they made the mint, U.S. mint, where they're making money. They were making $20 bills that day, and it was amazing, just pallets and pallets of $20 bills. And so as we're getting the tour, right toward the end of the tour, they said, well, now here's where the FBI agents who are trained specialists and counterfeiters, here's where they get trained. They come here for 6 weeks, and they're trained to spot counterfeit money. Oh, well, that's fascinating. And he said, but they never see a counterfeit bill. We do not let the FBI agents who are trained to find counterfeit, they don't ever see a counterfeit bill. They only study good bills. Mm-hmm. They know the good bill so good, they know it's counterfeit when they see it because they know it's not good. Mm-hmm. And I think some churches years ago are having things on suicide and drugs. Don't teach them that. Teach them the Word of God. If you know the truth, you'll know that, well, that's not God. That's mm-hmm. not good. And that's not the truth. Why? Because I know the truth so well. So we get caught up, don't do that. Don't watch that. Don't believe that. Don't listen to that. It's like, I just assume run away from home. That's just crazy. Mm-hmm. No, teach me what God says. Well, honey, I understand that, and they teach that down there. But let me show you what the truth is. Do it real calm. Don't mm-hmm. rant and rave. Don't tell them they're going to hell in the handbasket. Mm-hmm. Learn to teach them to respect their authorities. You're going to have to do that the rest of your life. Let's start in school. So let's not throw public school. They're going to teach some goofy stuff every now and then. One public school locally, they had witches and goblins on the wall at Halloween. It's like, I can't have my kids do that. Why? Dress them up. Have a good time. Eat your marshmallow, you know. They know the truth. And I had some parents say, we don't like Halloween. Well, we always participate. We had a hallelujah party. We're going to dress up as Bible characters. The guy that won the main prize, and we had 2,000 people at that event, and they dressed up as Bible characters. One guy came as John the Baptist who had lost his head. He'd taken a lunch tray, cut a hole in it, and put a big cloth over it, and he's just walking around. It's a head on a tablet. It's a head on a tray walking around the crowd, and he put little red stuff around his neck, right? His head had been chopped off. People were astounded and shocked and amazed. Man, that guy needs to win. He needs to win for that. That was awesome. What was it? Well, John the Baptist lost his head. It's a true story. So we can't protect our kids from the bad, goofy things in the world that's going on. Tell them the truth. Yeah. You tell them the truth, and they'll know that. What is that? Well, that's not the truth. We didn't come from monkeys. I didn't grow a tail and crawl out onto the sand to fish, and I became a monkey. So we didn't come from monkeys, you mm-hmm. know. I got a couple of uncles that look kind of like that, but we didn't come from monkeys. So truth will set you free. Truth will set you free.
Yeah, and, you know, there does come a time in every child's life when they're starting to become an adult, when they test whether what you've told them is the truth
yes.
or what they've heard from
yes.
other people. So that's why I remember this is years and years ago, way before Joe and I got married, but I do remember you telling me one time, you said, because Sumner was little and we were working at the same church, we were both married to other people, but I had a new baby and I was asking him about discipline because he was speaking on parenting. And one of the things that you said, and I don't know if you remember this, probably not, but you said that you are a reflection of God to your children.
Yes.
So if you like go postal one time when they do something wrong, and then you just kind of wink at it the next time, then you're sending mixed signals. When the truth is, what you want to tell them is there's consequences to sin, and
yes.
it's always the same.
Yes.
You know, it's always the same. So you need to be consistent. And in that same way, in your walk with the Lord, you have to be consistent because you're going to be the biggest example to them.
Yes, you are.
So
make them want to, when you're nine and they're seven, you got to make them want to call you. Hey, Dad, I'm going through something. What do you think about this? They still come to you because they know you tell the truth. It's not your IQ. It's not your GPA. You might have got kicked out of the kindergarten and never went back to school. It's because you know God.
Right.
Because God's word is the same yesterday and forever. And you stay real calm. Well, here's what God's word says. Mm-hmm. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, the thing is established. Well, I know the teachers maybe teach them, but here's what God's word says. You just be respectful, you know, and you write it down and give them what they want to know.
Yes. All right, Joe, can you give my wife and I some direction in how to get our finances under control? We are so far behind that we are both totally overwhelmed.
Well, I've been through this twice when I was married. First thing you got to do is plug the hole. You got to plug the hole. What do you do first? Plug the hole.
Yep.
Where's the leak at? And plug the hole. So twice in my life, I've taken all of our credit cards and I put them in the oven and I baked them and curled them up. And it was a mess. Man, we owed everybody their dog and their cat, and good Lord, it was a mess. So we got our life together and went to a nice seminar, a Christian guy out of Tennessee, and it was good. I learned a lot, but I didn't learn enough. So 3 years later, I'm back in debt again. I'm full of credit cards, and so I owe everybody their dog. So I put them in the oven again. And I thought, man, this is not good. This is not good. So the greatest thing you'll ever do, number one, is do it in the daytime after you've had a cup of coffee and something to eat. Don't do it late at night. sit down, you got to put a budget together. It's like there has to be a budget. It's not a four-letter word, but most people think it is. God's a God of stewardship. Jesus, before he fed the 5,000, he sent them down in groups of 50. What are you going to do? There has to be order. Before there's increase, there's order. Same thing with Noah. Before the flood came, Noah had to build a boat. There'd never been a boat. God said, you need this much wood. It's going to be this tall, this wide, and this deep. Order always preceded increase in the Bible. Every time. Order precedes increase. I said, you want a miracle financially? You've got to get order. First thing you'll do is get a budget. So sit down and see how much do you owe, how much do you own, how much do you earn, and where does it go? It's real simple. Now it's going to send you into a fit of depression. You're thinking, dear Lord, I knew we were in debt. I didn't know we were this far in debt. But it's a great day. You've got to find the bottom of the barrel. The greatest thing you'll ever do is sit down together. Well, what do you owe? Where's that go? Well, I didn't know we paid that. Mm-hmm. How long have we been paying that? What did you run that debt in? I didn't know you charged that. And finally, what you're going to do is just get a revelation between the two of you. We've got to plug the hole because right. we don't make enough money to do what we're doing. And we can't because we owe so many people. I couldn't enroll in the junior college because I can't afford to go there. And so start by plugging the hole, find out how much you got, and then make sure prayer is a daily part of your life. Listen, you don't have to pray 30 seconds, just 30 seconds. Father, I thank you. We've done some stupid things. We ask you to forgive us for being foolish with our money, not being good stewards. Yes. We ask you to wash us clean by the blood of Jesus. We repent. But Father, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom to have a great life, great family. May we be the biblical people that leave money behind to their children and their grandchildren. You said a righteous man would leave money behind to his children and his grandchildren. We want to do that. So let us start today. Give us opportunities. I mean, and I've done it before where people that we owed money to, hey, guys, I can't pay this. I can give you $5 a month. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was probably like an $80 a month bill. Okay. And most everybody worked with us because mm-hmm. they're human. And most everybody I worked with, and we got out of that mess, and we said, we're not ever going to go back in this again. But you do that by keeping abreast of the facts. You want to prosper, you have to keep abreast of the facts. God says, you know, you're getting ready to go down and sell those sheep. You better know what the going price for sheep are, what the going price for wool is. There's a part we play. God does the miraculous. He does the supernatural. We do the natural.
Right.
You can't leave the natural out. So I tell people the greatest thing you'll ever do, get a budget. You yes. can do it in one day and find out how deep the hole is and then start praying every day. Father, we're sorry we did this, but you forgive us, Lord. You open up doors for us. Give us opportunity. Give us divine favor. You promised Psalm 512 you would surround the righteous with a shield of divine favor. And Lord, we need it bad today. We need a shield of divine favor.
Yes.
May people like us, not even know why. And we promise you, Father, we promise you, we're not going to go back in this ever again by your grace and by your mercy.
Yeah, and also, if you want to go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com, Joe has a great teaching on family finances, and it's a CD disc and a workbook.
Yeah,
and
excellent workbook.
It's called Family Finances, Making and Managing Money. So
there's as much scripture as there are in advice what to do with your money. It's loaded.
That's great. Well, Joe, I've enjoyed sitting here chatting with you again today.
I love it, I know.
Hey, guys, thanks so much for sending us your questions and your comments. If any of these answers have helped you, please let us know. We love hearing from you.
Yes, we'd love to
Mail
hear
at joemcgeeministries.com and just drop us a quick line. You guys have a great day, and we will see you next Monday.
God bless you guys. See you next Monday. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.